In order to celebrate harvest this week, I'm moving away from the set lectionary reading. I'm reading Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swims the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all
the earth. So often
I hear people say that they can't believe in God because they need the evidence and it's not there. And that, of course, is faith. But do you know, when I read Psalm 8, it points to the fact that people are maybe not looking very well. Earlier this week, we had gale force winds and, you know, you couldn't see the wind itself, but I certainly saw its impact. Leaves whirling around, trees bending beyond what I thought they were capable of, plant pots blown all over, a damaged fence. Like the wind, not everything is visible to the eye, but that does not stop us feeling it, experiencing it, recognising what it does, seeing that it is there. To see God at work, look at the work of his hands. That's what the psalm says. The world around us, in other words. Today we have all sorts of designers to help us create all kinds of things. Graphic designers to help us with leaflets and posters. Garden designers to give us the perfect outdoor space to meet our needs. House designers or architects providing homes. And these people, they study for years, they practice, they build up portfolios. Many of them are brilliant, award-winning, and we may struggle to do without them. But none of them, not one of them, can come anywhere close to God's design. Just find one thing to look at in detail from nature. Take the leaf of a plant, take a flower, even a blade of grass. The smallest thing reveals the intricate design of God's creation, the incredible shape, the structure, the variation in colour, the purpose. And if you can't get outside, find a natural product in the home, a piece of wood, a plant, even a vegetable that you're going to prepare for tonight's meal. Stare at it. Pick out the detail of it. Even the simplest thing we take for granted is just wow when we give it a moment's thought. And then there's the bigger stuff, the vastness of the skies, of space, of which we've only explored a fraction. And every time the likes of NASA go on a mission, what tends to happen is they find out more about what they don't know. And perhaps more importantly, they discover how enormous the knowledge gaps are and how what they don't know massively exceeds what they do know. All types of scientists have dedicated their lives to discovering and studying animal and plant life on Earth. It's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years, and yet biologists estimate that there are still up to 5 million marine species yet to be found and studied. And that's just creatures of the sea. Forget everything else. This may sound a little bit sad, but I found it fascinating. I was recently listening to a soil expert talking about the fact that what we know about life in the soil is way less than what we know about life in the sea. And that's the soil. That's that stuff that we walk on day in, day out, or drive past or cycle past. And we tend not to give it a second thought, but it is absolutely full of life that we don't yet understand. Now, personally, when I look at all of that, I believe I'm looking at the evidence of God, my Father, the Creator. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then Genesis 1 goes on to describe in detail his further creations, the creation of light, of night and day, of water, of sky, of seas, vegetation, the sun, the moon, the stars, marine life, birds, animals, and finally us. As I look to all of nature and see God's creation, others completely accept that they can't possibly be human design. It is too complicated. And that tends to lead people to the science, things like the Big Bang theory, a chemical event. And such theories in themselves tend to raise many questions. And do you know what? So many people, including eminent scientists, would argue that those theories require significantly more faith than a belief in God as evidence of what's around us and what created it. For Christians, it's really important to look at the why question when it comes to the world that we live in. What is it here for? Why do we have such wonders in the natural world? It's hard to understand the why questions if it's all an accident, if it's all a chemical reaction or something similar. And I appreciate that I am speaking as someone who knows pretty much nothing about the scientific things. I understand very little. I read quite a lot and I listen to quite a lot, but it's way beyond my understanding. And yet what I can do is I can go to some of the greatest scientists, and many do conclude that there has to be a God. Louis Pasteur, renowned for developing pasteurization and his work in developing the principle of vaccination, said, "Science brings men nearer to God." Michael Faraday, whose study of electromagnetism and electrochemistry is widely used today still with things like Faraday boxes, he's quoted as saying, "The book of nature, which we have to read, is written by the finger of God." And when we look to the Bible, the reasons for creation are clear. It's for God's pleasure and as a blessing to us. It's a gift to us. And God created us because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are a joy with all our flaws, with all the mistakes we humans make. We are created out of love and we are a joy. And God gives us so much because he wants to please us. In Genesis, we hear how God reflected on his creation and was pleased. But once he'd finished the earth and skies, there was that something more to add, and it was us. We aren't an afterthought or a last thing in the priority list. Far from it. With all the other things, he was preparing the way for us. And preparing us to be very special. Chapter 1 of Genesis, verses 25 to 28. "And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' God blessed them." And Psalm 8, of course, is a real echo of those verses. If we thought that the vast beauty of the world was completely awesome, then this really tops it, doesn't it? It was made for us, for you and for me. And that's at the heart of what we celebrate during this season of harvest, the abundance of nature, how it sustains us. How it sustains us both physically and emotionally and spiritually. We celebrate how God sustains us, not at a basic level, but lavishing us with love. A few nutrients and some water would keep us alive. That would be enough to sustain life. But God went overboard. God gives us so much more than that. Look around, see the evidence, appreciate it, and of course, take care of it. Because that's also there in Genesis. It's also there in Psalm 8. We are given all of this and it's amazing, but it comes with responsibility to be caretakers. Do not waste it. Do not abuse our gift. Do not overlook it.